Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi on Kaya 959.
Well, we move on to our next guest now, Zwela Kemguni, who is the co-founder and chief investment officer of Benguela Global Fund. He joins us to give us some perspective on a very important story that has been announced earlier on today, particularly being revealed from the CIPC, making a pronouncement and, of course, issuing paperwork in the Companies Tribunal of South Africa. Many of us might be familiar with YWBN, essentially a mutual bank that was going to be formed and founded and certainly shaking up things as the Young Woman in Business Network, providing an opportunity for it to be a bank that would support entrepreneurs, primarily black females within this space. Well, it does appear as though investors who might have plowed in their money into this institution between the months of June and July this year will likely receive their capital bank. It appears as though YWBN seemed to failed to comply with certain elements of legislation and regulation, and as a result has found concerns that have been raised by the Registrar of Companies regarding its prospectus. To help us understand all the technicalities that many of you have been asking about on Twitter, we join on the line by Zwela Kemguni to give us some insight. But Zwelake, thank you so much for your time as always. Really appreciate it. I think first things first, let's start off by getting clarity as to what the concerns are that were raised by the CIPC regarding the YWBN prospectus.
Yeah, thanks, Gugu. Good evening to your listeners. The CIPC was basically concerned around there is a Chapter 4 of the Companies Act where there are restrictions in terms of companies raising capital from the primary and secondary sectors of the economy. And so basically listed and unlisted. And their concern was that the way this was done by YWBN didn't follow procedure. So this wasn't compliant with Section 99 of the Companies Act. Uh-huh. And in essence, that is really the real issue. So I would almost say it's an administrative issue, but it's also an issue that now raises a veil on one of the things that YWBN had, or the founders of YWBN had claimed that they are capable of, mm-hmm. which is administration and the setup of the company. And now, today, with this kind of judgment, all that would be questioned.
And let's discuss that further, because we are aware that in the middle of June this year, this is where several concerns were raised regarding the prospectus, lack of annual financial results from previous operations, how it is that they're raising capital, membership costs and fees that are also being administered and paid here. I guess for us who aren't used to starting banks on a day-to-day basis, help us understand the legalities, the process, and even the funding requirements that would be required for a mutual bank, and where perhaps YWBN, again, has not necessarily met the mark.
Yeah, look, you probably need a lawyer to go talk through the details, but at a high level, what they need to do is they need to ensure that the prospectus is firstly approved and is in compliance with the Companies Act, so it's approved by the CIPC, before going out to the market and raising capital. And then the other thing is that there is also capitalization requirement.
Yes.
So I can't go to, which is also on the banking side now, I can't go to the market and go raise capital, and basically, which would be debt, effectively, and I don't put any capital into it, which is why I think YWBN use this structure where they use the membership fees as equity, and then say the difference between what they classify as equity and the cash contributed would then become a loan that can then be used to on-lend to customers. But the companies, the regulator basically saying they didn't follow due process, so they needed to reverse that transaction. The transactions where they were basically issuing shares, and they needed to create a reserve, basically put that money into a vehicle where it is safe. And capitalize their membership fees. So every member, because remember they did a control structure where the founders, I think, had 40-something percent, but their capital contribution didn't match that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you basically capitalize the membership fees, the other people would own the majority rather than the founders owning the majority of the pen. So that is one of the implications of the CIPC ruling.
Yep.
And what they did is then they went to the CIPC to say, we need assistance with compliance. And the CIPC said, you need to find auditors, legal advisors, and all those things to basically assist you
mm-hmm.
in complying with this directive. So all they did is they went to the company's tribunal to say, we need 21 days to comply with this. So we are now being put under pressure to comply by CIPC. Can we get a reprieve to basically comply?
Yeah.
And that is essentially what the ruling from the company's tribunal is all about. But like I said, it raises questions about YWBN's value proposition to the co-investors that we've got the capacity to manage the administrative issues and set up everything.
Uh-huh.
If you haven't complied with the Basic Companies Act provisions, how are you going to comply with the other provisions? And I think they need to be given a chance, the benefit of doubt.
Sure.
But I definitely think that they now have their work cut out for themselves because they promised something and the first evidence that's come through essentially suggests that they are struggling with capacity to actually execute with that. And then that raises further questions. Is our money safe? Are we in the right partnership and all those things?
Yep. You're quite right. It raises a lot of questions, and that doesn't really work well in terms of trust, especially where money is involved. Butswelake, thank you for that and clarifying this issue. I do want to allude to one particular point, though, that has been shared in the findings, and that's 2.4A that the CIPC has identified that they need to reverse any transactions, share transactions issued between the 1st and the 30th of June, and repay all the investors who took up shares based on the circulated prospectus. This sounds like a mammoth task. Is this possible, raising again ongoing concerns about the trust and validity of individuals who will be able to regain or return their money from the bank?
I think that is where I think that it's probably cheaper to go to the lawyers and get the lawyers to try and get a delay to comply rather than comply. Because, I mean, is that money there? I mean, nobody knows. To return all that money is probably going to be difficult because they've incurred expenses in setting up and doing all other things and probably paying salaries. And there is most probably some of that money is no longer there because they've used it to set up the business. So without maybe casting aspersions about the integrity of the people, but it's just to say that naturally if you're running a business, you'd spend the money to set up, and that money's not there, they'll be in trouble with CIPC.
Very true. Butswelake, thank you so much for your time this evening. And as you say, we're not casting any aspersions. We have reached out to YWBN, the PR representatives, as well as Ntabeleng Dikotsi to give us some feedback. And they've replied to say not today. They will engage with us once they're able to do so in upcoming dates. However, not today. So we will continue to reach out to them to give them a right of reply. But as you accurately say, this does just highlight the ongoing concerns about their capacity, their capability to comply with the regulations as well as administrative elements that are included with managing and creating a bank of this nature. Thank you so much for your time today, Butswelake. We really appreciate it, helping us to unpack and understand much of these concerns. And of course, to many of you as our listeners, if you have invested your money in YWBN, we're keen to hear from you. As has been mentioned, CIPC has essentially said that money must be paid back to shareholders who actively plowed their capital in the potential bank. We want to hear from you. Do you have concerns? What made you comfortable with investing in the bank? Help us understand and of course get your view. I for one am one who likes the vision. I appreciate the ambition and continue to support it. But of course we do need to make sure that once we get the ball rolling to build institutions that really shape the narrative, particularly of Black South Africans in the economy, we do need to make sure that we have the right elements, individuals, skills and resources in play. Just very briefly, I do want to read a few of your tweets. At Tabi Moabi says, as soon as we broke the YWBN story, I went onto their website. I noticed they state that they have quote unquote five clean audits, yet there's this sudden statutory misstep. angazi kuku, but make it make sense here. Hashtag KayaBiz. We also had an earlier tweet that raised the concerns around the section 2.4.A and D regarding the ruling from SIPSI, essentially requesting that they do pay money back to investors who plowed their capital in the bank. And at Sinesaife, my status quo, she actually says, well, I did call it, and refers to a tweet that was published back in June around the prospectus. And you might recall this is around the time when many questions were raised around the prospectus. And she says the question, or rather concern at the time, was that she wasn't sure how the prospectus got approved by the regulator. My understanding is one needs to buy in before issuing, cause it is a mutual bank application. So again, quite concerning. The questions that were raised in the middle of June now seemingly again being validated by this call by SIPSI. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at KayaBiz. Use the hashtag KayaBiz and Kaya959.
KayaBiz with Guguletu Mfuphi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya959.